Yeah, if you do something that's just, how good is God, everybody? Amen. Let's just get on to God. Let's forget about what you've just done. Hallelujah. Well, we've been just so blessed with that concept that Brother Jesse was sharing when he came just over a week ago now and ministered on advancing. That God is a God that doesn't want us just to be stagnant, definitely doesn't want us to be going backward. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, it talks about those that were drifting. And drifting talks about where you stop focusing and moving forward, and you just allow yourself to plateau, to stay where you are. And how many know that in life, there's no such thing as just staying still? If you're not moving forward, and if, especially in the things of God, if you're not moving forward in the things of God, if you just sort of think, well, I'll just hold for a little while, you find the currents of the world are taking you downstream. And if you've never experienced that, you know, you've been in the ocean where there's a strong current. I remember once many years ago as a teenager, we were up in Queensland as a holiday as a family, and I put my stuff on the beach and I went and swam, and then I came and someone had stolen all my stuff. It was pretty bit disconcerting. And then it's like, oh, there it is, about 300 metres down the beach. And I hadn't moved. The beach had moved. I had just been swimming in the same spot. I hadn't moved any distance. But because there was a fairly empty beach at that time, I hadn't realised there was such a strong current. And every time I went in, every time I went back out and I was surfing, you know, just body surfing, it was just moving me along the beach. I didn't even realise it, not even aware of it. And this world is a current. This world has a push, and there's a zeitgeist, there's a way it's taking you, and you've got to stand against that and resist that. But that's the thing about God. You say, well, I can't do it. You know, you don't have to do it. You latch hold of God because He's moving in the right direction. You don't have to do it yourself. You don't have to try and just become stronger and better. You actually latch onto God, hold tightly onto Him, and you start moving in the right direction. So the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I pursue Him, and then He gets hold of me, and He takes me in the right direction. So that's the secret. The secret is not for you to grit your teeth and just try harder. It's you just latch hold of Jesus, and Jesus is moving in the right direction. And one of the ways this works is concept of seed, that God will put something in your heart that begins to grow and to mature. And how many know how powerful seeds are? Has anyone ever seen a rock that has been split open by a tiny seed? I've seen concrete where there's been this a little gap and a seed gets in there and it gets watered and just like there's nothing there. But if that seed starts to grow, it can actually split the concrete. It's just amazing that the strength and the power in that tiny little thing just growing a little bit by a little bit. The seed has this desire to grow. You have to put it in the right conditions. You have to give it the right, you know, soil, and you know, make sure that it's got enough moisture. But if you give it the right conditions, the seed will do the rest. And you give the seed of God the right conditions. You give it the right conditions, and it will grow. You see that in Jesus when He was telling a parable. He said the seed, He said the good news is like a seed. The kingdom of God is like a sower sowing seed. He said if you want to understand what the life of God's like, what it's like to do life, He said you can think about a sower who goes out sowing seed. And He said if you think about that and look at the different things that happen, He said you can understand how your life is going to function. So He said, you look at these natural things and then you understand spiritual things. That's what parables do. They take things that we can't conceive because they're spiritual. They're not something we fully understand. And we give something which is a natural example. So I can understand that. He said, now just take that over into the spiritual realm and you'll understand what's happening in your life. So Jesus said, I'll tell you what the kingdom of God is like, how it works. He said, it's like a sower who goes out and sows some seed, and he scatters the seed broadly, and it falls into four different places. And it falls upon a hard soil that's like a trampled down path, and there's no opportunity for the seed to get in. It's a trampled path. And what happens is the birds come and just take that seed, and it doesn't produce anything. He said, then you plant it on another bit of soil, but this soil is only very thin. It's a top layer, but underneath is hard, rocky soil. So it starts and looks good to start with, but then when it tries to push its roots down, it can't. We once decided we would do the right thing by our children and teach them about, you know, gardening and things. My dad had a whole garden. When I was, you know, a teenager, younger, he bought the block of land next to our house as an investment. He bought these two blocks side by side, built a house on one, and the other one was just an investment for a little bit later. And so we had a little vacant block next to us. We can run around and kick the footy. And then my dad decided to take about the front third of it and put a big veggie garden in. That's good. But if you're the teenager, guess who gets to do all the work? My dad. He did most of it, but, you know. But I'd do what I, you know. I had to get in there, and we're covering. We did a patch, and the birds are getting in, so we're putting mesh over it to protect them. We've got growing our own tomatoes. And so Christine and I are like, you know, we should do something for our kids, you know. We don't have a vacant block next door. We have this tiny little yard behind us. And we said, well, we'll just take this little portion, make a little garden bed. And trouble is, my dad, by this stage, has gone to his reward in heaven. And I had no gardening advice from him. And so we did it. And we just created this little plot and put a little bit of soil on it, put carrot seeds in, told the kids, look out, tomorrow you're going to see carrots, you know. Well, we were smart enough to know, not tomorrow. We had to water them, and kids, you know, after the first day or so, they lose interest, and so we've got to remember to water them for them. And eventually we see this little sprout come, oh, we're getting carrots, everybody. But I, in my haste and, you know, just couldn't be bothered, had put a bit of soil on, but I hadn't dug the soil deep. I just made a bag of soil on top and sort of, you know, tried to make it, not realizing right next to the house was this really heavy clay sort of soil. It wasn't really soil at all, it was clay. And so all these carrots had was about that much soil they're working on. And they tried really hard. Let's all give it out to the carrots. They did their part. And they were all constantly saying, why were we put in this house? You know, I could have gone to anyone, you know, from, you know, Bunnings, anyone could have picked me up. I got this family, put me here, and I start to grow and suddenly realize there's nowhere to grow. So we pulled up these carrots and they were the most pitiful, bent, sideways. They just did what they could, but they were cute, says my wife, which is, you know, you don't buy cute vegetables, you buy big, strong, healthy, vibrant. These looked bad. They were struggling. Why? No depth. All right? They needed not just a bit of soil. They needed depth to put the roots and to go down into to get their substance. And so the seed goes in, and it was just shallow, and it sprouted up. It looked all right on the top, but what was happening underneath was no good. And so it was not able to produce. And eventually, when the heat comes, those plants can't survive because they can't get to the water, which is deeper. They're only relying on what's on the surface, and that dries up quickly, and so that plant dies. He said then there's a third type of soil where he sows the seed goes in, and he said it grows all right. But the problem is that it is reasonable soil, but it's soil that is infected. If, I guess that's probably the wrong word. There's other things, other seeds in that soil, seeds of weeds. So you've got not only to make sure your plant gets all the nourishment, you've got to make sure that others are not there. You've got to pull the weeds and do weeding. How many know that that's part of the taking care? And I'd be out there in my dad's veggie garden, and we're not only growing tomatoes, we've got to make sure we're not growing the plants that are just blown in and come in, and we've got to take care. Why do we do that? Because it doesn't matter. It does, because it says those plants choked the good plants. And so even though they were able to grow, they weren't able to produce. They were able to survive, but not to flourish. So they were able to exist, but not be beneficial to anyone else, because the other things around them had choked them. And then he said some seed went into good ground. And there it had depth of soil. It had, so, you know, first of all, it was soft and able to penetrate, depth of soil. Thirdly, it was free from, or kept free from the weeds, and it grew, and it produced 30, 60, 100-fold. It advanced. It advanced. It went forward. It went upward. You put a seed where it should be, it will advance. I didn't chastise our carrot seed. I didn't go back to Bunnings and say, you sold us dud seed. You sold us seed that only produces poor carrots. That would have been, they would have laughed at me when they understood where I had planted it. It's not the seed. It was the ground. The seed is designed to flourish. The seed of God is designed to give you 30, 60, 100-fold. It's designed to help you advance, help you to grow. That's why I'm saying you can go into the currents of life. If you lock hold of God, it will take you in the right direction. It's got power. You think, that little seed? Yeah. That little word that God speaks to you? It's got power. That little thing that God says to you that lodges in your heart, it's got the ability to shape your life. It's got the ability to hold your family together. It's got the ability to get you whole. It's got the ability to cleanse your mind. It's an amazing thing what the seed can do when it gets in the right place. Because the disciples being forever amazing, there's a reason the disciples were called disciples. Because often there'll be things happening that I don't understand. So the disciples came, what did that mean? What did that story mean? And he said, well, let me explain. And we're all like, oh, those idiots. That's because we've read the second half and we already know. Do you know what I mean? So I understand and appreciate that the disciples came to him and said, what was that all about? So he explained. And we should actually read it from the Bible rather than me just sharing it. So that you can see, this is actually a teaching that came from the Gospels, one of the good news stories about Jesus when he was on the earth. Hallelujah. As opposed to seated at the right hand of God working through the Spirit today. Hallelujah. And it's from the book of Mark, chapter 4. So Mark wrote an account of the life of Jesus. Mark was not one of the disciples himself. He got his information mainly from Peter. And so he wrote this. And he tells the story about Jesus' teaching. And so in verse 2 says, Jesus was teaching them many things in parables. And then he gives this parable. Verse 13, he says to the disciples, he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? He said, this is a pretty easy one. This is a pretty easy one, but... oh, well, let's go for it. So he actually gives explanation, which is really good, because then we can sit back and say, oh, those dumb disciples, but we can get all the information. We can understand what the four soils are like. We can understand what the seed is. And he says, the sower, verse 14, sows the word. So the word, God's spoken word, is what is seed. It's taken as seed. It is the seed of God. It is referred to, I think, in Peter as seed, the everlasting word, the seed of God. It has the same characteristics and it does the same as what a seed will do. You put it in the right situation, in the right place, take the right amount of care of it, and it will produce something in you which is not what you have to produce. It creates something new, and it will do it in a great enlargement, 30, 60, 100-fold. It will do way more in you than what, you know, you think this little word should, but it gets in. So the word, you take the word, you hear the word, you receive the word. I love what Paul said to the church at Thessalonica. He said, when I came and I spoke the word to you, one of the things you did that enabled it to get in your heart, he said, you just did not treat this as the word of man. You didn't just hear this and say, oh, that's a man speaking. That's man's ideas. That's just a man telling me things. And you've got to understand, there's a lot of words being spoken out there. Not every word that is being spoken by every person is good. It can be seeds that are unhealthy. You got a seed of doubt or a seed. You know, how many have ever had someone say something to you that has hounded you for life or even constricted you or damaged you or things that have shaped you? Things that something has said to you and you did not realize. And we have a great message Caitlin shared a little while ago just about, sorry, Cut the Noise. It's a message that talks about where someone said something and she bought it. It was not something big or terrible. It was just that you're not a cook. And she said, well, I'm not a cook. And for 10 years, she said, I'm not a cook, and didn't cook, and didn't, until one day she realized, I actually really enjoy cooking, but I framed everything I do, I never say I will cook, because those words took root. And they bought 30, 60, 100-fold of negative control over her life. Until she said, I don't believe those words. I know what God has called me to, so she cut off those words. Have we got emails? Okay, you can go onto our website and look up our email journeys, and there is a Cut the Noise email journey. It'll take you over, and it'll just be a little bit of the teaching from that over the next 6 or 7 days, however many days that journey takes. And that's where I was reminded of, because I did the journey, and I was listening to Caitlin go through this story. So you can go to our website and check out email journeys. And look for Cut the Noise. Anyway, so there are lots of seeds out there, and you've got to be discerning. Not everyone is the right word. Not everything is what you want to hear. And the people at Thessalonica, Paul said, I commend you because you not only heard it spoken by me, and you realize this is not just a word from man, but this is a word from God. By that transformation, you said you received it not as the word from man, but as the word from God. It took root and life in your lives. If you will take what is being preached and say, no, that's just not just good advice. That is actually God's word. That is what God is speaking to me. And you take it and you say, well, you're a man. Of course, this is how God does it. He says he sends people to speak the word. He calls people, summons them, and sends them out to speak the word. And that word goes out, your job is to hear it and receive it by faith and say, that is the word of God. And then that comes in and it takes root. So verse 13, verse 14, we got up to, the sower sows the word. So what are these seeds? It's God's word. And these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In other words, they are so resistant to this word coming in, they say, I'm not going to receive that. And immediately the devil can say, well, you're not going to get any benefit from it. And so they take it away. I'm often wondering, should we preach to those people? They're not going to listen anyway. I'm sort of saying, well, if you're listening, if you're watching, when I say watching, I look down here because I can see a live stream here. I can see the comments. If you're watching, if you're here, you don't have to be that person. All right, how can I say this? It's sown on the road. On verse 4, it says, it came about as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road and the birds came and ate it. This is trampled down, hard spot. If you will soften and allow your heart to be broken, you'll find there is soil in there. You have the capability of receiving. You've just got to let go some of the crust and some of the resistance and some of the things where your life has maybe been trampled and you've just become resistant. And you're just not going to, I'm not going to take this in and I'm not going to do this or I'm not. Well, you just need to stop and say, I can protect my soil, but protecting your soil from seed means it's not going to have any opportunity to do what we're talking about. And if you will just open your heart, I'm not saying take anything. I'm saying my authority to preach this comes because of this. My authority to tell you this is not because it's my idea or something I've contrived or I've had a dream or I've had a vision or an angel appeared for me. None of those things. It comes because God has revealed this to us. And these are the recorded words of Jesus, but they're also the recorded words of many prophets who, it says, they spoke as moved by the Holy Spirit. Book of Timothy, Paul's letter to Timothy, he said this to Timothy. He said, these words have come by the breath of the Holy Spirit. the Spirit of God has breathed these words through men. It's come through. You know, it wasn't just a laser writing on a rock and then say, here's the whole word. No, it came through men, but God watched over the process, anointed the process, enabled us to have these words. So this word that I'm speaking to is the word of God. Your choice is to listen to it, receive it, and take it deep. Now you might be saying, oh yeah, I've received that. I'm a believer. I've made that choice. Your choice is to how you're going to take care of that word, and also to make sure that you are not a selective word Christian, just taking the words that you like. You say, yeah, I don't like that bit. I do like this bit. You've just got to open up your whole heart to the whole word of God. That is your response. And so verse 16, and in a similar way, these are the ones in whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but only temporary. And then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. That is one of the things that is true. Pressure will come because of this word. If you choose to receive the seed will attract pressure. And you say, well, I don't want pressure. Well, I'm just telling you that I cannot give you a pressure-free seed. I cannot do it. I cannot promise and offer you a seed that comes without pressure. It comes with something is going to try and squeeze it. Something is going to try and block it. But I can tell you this. If you will embrace the seed of God's word, in that seed is what you need to flourish. And you can not only endure the suffering, you can flourish in the pressure. In the pressure, you come to squeeze, and it's like, all the best. All the best with that squeezing. God has got me here. And there can be, you can be under pressure, but at peace at the same time. You know what I mean? I love to show, we actually showed it, a little clip that I used to watch with the kids, a video of Goofy. Anyone remember Goofy, the Disney character? And they used to do some wonderful videos with Goofy. And Goofy, at one stage, was in the time of the knights and the castles, and there was a jousting match, and Goofy was an assistant to one of the big knights. So he would polish the armor, he'd get it all ready. And in the middle of helping his knight onto the horse, he makes it some little stupid thing, and the knight falls off the horse, knocks himself out, and the knight is no more. And he's left there while they're calling the knight out, and the armor falls on him, and he's way too small for it, but he gets on the horse and rides it out, and he goes into battle in the knight's place, in this armor that is way too big for him. And at one stage, his opponent has got one of the maces, I think they're called, with their long handle and the ball with all the spikes on it, and he is belting the living daylights out of Goofy. And it's like, oh, how can he survive? And the armor's getting dented and beaten. And then they cut to a scene on the inside, and he's so small, he's just sitting there. Da, 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 da. And the armor's getting beaten around him, and he's just having a good old time because the armor is taking all the beating. And he's fine, and eventually his opponent gets so exhausted, he falls out of his saddle. And then he pops his head up and like, hey, I'm still here. Well, we showed that clip, and then we got banned by Disney on our YouTube. they found us. Apparently you're not allowed to show someone else's videos on YouTube. Who would have thunk it? That was many years ago, before we have the... Nowadays, before I leave the building, they tell us what copyrights we have infringed. That's all right. Every week they listen to our music and they say you've played 4 songs and what we can do. So they're listening. That's nice. You know, let's pray for the AI people and in the computers listening to us. Anyway, it says pressure will come, but if you do it right, the pressure doesn't have to come in. That's what I'm saying. You don't have the pressure will come. But if you hold on to the seed, you will actually have flourishing in the pressure. You don't have to be pushed. You're going to be pushed, but it doesn't have to come in. You can be at peace. You can be comfortable. You can. Bible says, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. You do it without any care. He says, well, I'm going to get through. Why? Because the seed. You know what the seed? This is God's seed in me. It's working. So this seed was sown on rocky places and then pressure comes. But it said the problem was not with the seed and not with the pressure. Okay, the pressure did not cause this seed to fail. What caused the seed to fail? No roots. All right, it was not the pressure that caused, the pressure exposed the lack of roots. It's not the pressure that causes people to turn away from God. The pressure just shows if they haven't let roots get deep. And what roots mean is that you don't allow God and his seed to work into who you really are. You just want to keep it superficial. You just, you know, you say, God, you come. You're the master architect. You're the master builder. Come to my life, my home. You know, the Bible, Paul talked about his body being like a tent, like a building. You know, and listen, some of us already have fairly large tents. Some of us have annexes on the front of our tent. You know, we managed to do our expanding and we've got extra material already. But you imagine God coming to our... Hey, I just saw some people turn and look at other people. Don't do that. Don't. Not saying who they are, but they're on the front row. Okay, and... that's all right. It's their anniversary. So you invite Jesus in, the master architect, the master builder, and you say, you have free reign in my life. And he says, well, that's good. We need to change this room. We need to do that. He says, but not the bedroom. That's my private space. So not the study, not where I learn. Not the living, not the family area. That's where I get entertained. Not the kitchen. That's where I eat. Do not touch the things that I eat. You know, you can talk about spiritual things, but don't leave the fridge alone. Jesus, well, what can I change? Well, there's a little patio out the back. You can move the furniture around if you want. I'm never happy, you know, do something to make it look like, you know, paint the house on the outside. But you've got to let Jesus get to every room in your life. That's where roots form. Roots are when you let Jesus touch the stuff that hurts. The stuff that is like, oh, that's private. He says, if you put a notice on your part of your life says private, guess which room he wants to renovate first? Because he knows that's the key. Otherwise, we just play games, going round and round. We can paint the outside, but it's not going to help. He said, you know, when an earthquake comes, it's the foundations that matter, not how well you paint it. And you know, another parable when he said, you know, when the storm comes, the person who has taken the word and acted upon it is like the person who has put down deep foundations. So when the storms of life come, they don't get knocked down because this root system holds them. And it's got to be underneath the surface. It's the stuff that happens when no one else is watching is where the really works. It's the stuff when people don't know that you're being helped. And thanks to the internet and to blogs and to Facebook and all the rest, that doesn't have to happen now. When God is working in your life, you can tell everybody. Oh, I'm not allowed to do this because God said no, but feel my pain, people. Look at me, selfie. Even the name should give you a clue about where it's aimed, all right? It's all about the self. So there is a lot of stuff that the Word will do that you'll never see happening in public because that's where God is doing this real work. That's attitudes, that's your priorities, that's your image of who you see yourself as, what you believe about yourself. You say, well, I know who I am and I know what I can do. God says, no, I know who you are better than that. And you need to receive what I say about you. And what I will put about you. You see, there's a part of my life that's pretty ugly. God says, well, no, not anymore. I'm changing that. And you say, but this has been with me for 27 years. And God says, you didn't hear what I said. I am dealing with it. Gone. You just got to trust me and hold me. And these are precious things that he does in our root system. And then when life gets tough, it doesn't affect me because I'm holding on and I've got a source. You know, what Caitlin shared during the offering message and the sharing is, see, she was under pressure because she was feeding off the water of people's opinion. But when you get the water source from God himself, the pressure doesn't matter. But when things dry up and you haven't got God's source, you're needing other people's source. But when you don't need other people's source, it's because you've got God telling you what he says. So that goes deep. And so verse 18, others, the ones in whom the seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. That's the problem. It doesn't mean that these things aren't out there, but by letting them in, these other seeds come and join in with your seeds, and that's when you get into the problems of it stifling. And you've got to say, you've got to keep these things at arm's length. Keep them outside the armor. These are not things that I am going to receive and think about. And sometimes God will just reveal something to you, and that's a chance for you to take that out and get rid of it. Many, many years ago, we're back in the old building in Blackburn, and I remember once I was praying and worship. I love worship because it's a chance to minister to God, but then God also starts the two-way process. You ever notice that? You open up the heavens with worship, it becomes two-way. God loves to minister to us. So many times I've received answers and healings and provision in our time of worship, because that's when the Holy Spirit is working and I'm ministering him, and he'll just drop something in your heart or say something, or we've seen things. So I love it. And we were worshiping the Lord and I was ministering him, and I heard God ask me a question in the middle of worship. And he said, when you come, because this is before I was a minister. This is, you know, like I was pastoring, but I don't think I was a senior pastor, probably just associate, assistant pastor. See, I said associate. That sounds better than assistant. I would have been assistant. But I was, you know, God was moving and helping me and growing my ability to minister. And he spoke this. He said, I can't remember the exact phrase now, but it was like, you know, when things have gone really well and you're successful as a minister, what will you do? And before I could even do anything, this thought came right up out of my heart. And I said, I'll shove it in the nose of all the people that said I could never do it. I didn't speak it, I just thought it straight away. And immediately I knew that's not a very good answer. And then I had this second awareness that I think God knows that's what my answer is before I even say it. And thirdly, I then suddenly realized that's why he asked the question. Not because he didn't know, but the question was to expose. When God said to Adam and Eve, where are you in the garden? It's not because he'd lost them. Where are they? Where are you? He knew where they were. What he was giving, he's giving you an opportunity. All right, when God asks you a question, it's not because, I don't know. He's asking a question sometimes, and what is in there? And so I had two choices, to try and cover it and pretend that it never happened, or to say, God, I just had a really ugly thought, and I think it was mine. And it's like, God, where did that come from? And so that became a little process where God says, let's cleanse that out. Because for you to get success, that's a weed that will rob you of your fruitfulness. That thought, that insecurity, that feeling of I've got to prove myself. Well, who to? But the fact that I was feeling the need to prove myself and shove it in the face of people who said I couldn't do it, said that I still feared man's opinions. Their opinions still mattered to me, and they were a problem to me. And God says, see, you're striving to build the kingdom, but with an eye on people, what people think, and you don't like it when people don't think nice about you. Because I'm such a likable person. It's like, this is so unfair. You should have said, amen, yes, you know, like that. That was your chance, people. I don't care what you say because God's healed me, but, you know, that was your chance. Oh, too late, Christine, but thank you anyway. But I had, it was exposing a wrong attitude, a weed in, a thorn in my soil that I needed God to help me. And so I said, God, well, how do I deal with this? And he said, you need to understand that they all your critics are right. I'm like, no, we're not going down that path. They're not all right. No, he said, you need to understand when they say you cannot make it and they can't, when they look at you and say you will never make it, they see you in you and they are 100% right. He said, all they're seeing is you without me. They're just not enabled, they're just not able to see me. They're just looking at you. So they are right. And when you get success, everyone who says you shouldn't have made it, you say you are 100% right because I could never do this. He said, just realize that if anybody is saying you will never make it, it's because they are just seeing you without the seed, without the word, without me, without the Holy Spirit. And he said, you just take all those images of people saying you'll never make it and just say, yep, you're right. But you're only partly right because you've missed the other part, which is that in Christ, I'm different. And my success will be because his seed has worked in me and his life has come to me. So there's an example, hallelujah, of weeds that will destroy and hold you back. And you don't even realize they're there, but they will choke you, cause you to become untrue. You know, you might do a lot of stuff, but you won't be truly fruitful. That's the thing. See, I could do a lot, but that attitude would have choked me from being truly fruitful. I wouldn't have been able to say things and do things, and I would have been too scared to take a step to do that because I would have been concerned about what people said. And all those things are where the fruitfulness is. So I needed those. Verse 20, and those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. On good soil. And they hear the word. Luke actually adds this to what Jesus said. They hear the word in an honest and good heart, Luke said in 8:15. In an honest and good heart, they hear the word and accept it, Luke says, and hold it fast. And they bear fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. They progress. They go up. They go further. They advance. They begin to do things. You begin to be involved in things, have doors opening, opportunities come to you. Your fruitfulness goes. Why? Just because the seed has taken root and you've taken light and you've received it. You've allowed it to work. You've allowed it to expose the thorns and the other things that are around. You've allowed it to go deep into your life to touch you at the places that are the most private and intimate. You said, God, you are welcome in my life. Hallelujah. You are welcome here to work, and I'm going to receive that word, and I'm going to act upon it, and I'm going to do what you say, and I'm going to be who you say I am. In terms of, I know I am who you am, but I'm going to be it in the sense of I'm going to step out in faith and trust in that. I'm going to work it. I'm going to move it. And out of that, God says, I can progress you 30. I can progress you 60. I can progress you 100. Do you see, that's what happens when you get hold of God. God is, I will progress you. I will take you upward. I will give you increase. I'm like, that's the nature of God. It's the nature of his seed. He puts the seed in. He put it in the right place. It will just begin to flourish. That's his nature. You might not always see it immediately. You might not see it straight away sometimes. That's the nature of seed as well. There's a reason it's called seed time and harvest. It's not seed time harvest. It's seed time and harvest. You know, everybody here is the result of a seed. Thank you for those people. If you didn't understand that, just listen to the people who said, yep, and go and ask them afterwards. All right? He said, what did he mean? But when that seed was sown, there was a period when no one knew, but it was increasing. And then people became aware. And then more people became aware. And suddenly no one could deny that you were alive and ready and growing. But it's a seed time process, 9 months. And then you're born. And it takes a few hours. And people say, oh, that was quick. 3 hours? No, it's 9 months and 3 hours. The birth was always however long the birth is, plus 9 months. Sometimes that's 9 months and 1 hour, which is, whoa, that's just enough time maybe to get to the car park. And I do remember the story of a lady that gave birth, and she was crying because she didn't make it into the opera, you know, into the proper room. She was just in the foyer part of the hospital, and she started to give birth. And so they put, you know, some screens around, and she's crying, and they said, it's okay. They said, and one of the nurses, don't worry, don't worry. Last year, lady, she gave birth right out in the car park. She goes, that was me. I was like, well, you're getting closer. Have another child, you'll make it. Hallelujah. But point being, this process of progressing is not always obvious. But you will know something's happening because the word is working. And you'll be just stay steadfast and stay holding. And then starts to take shape and then becomes fruitful. Hallelujah. So I'm not saying that seed time and harvest means we progress straight away. Sometimes you've got to hold on to God and it's a bit of a rocky soil. Like Brooke said, you go through a time when you get knocked about and you feel as if the rug's been taken out from under your feet. And you just hold on to the seed that God loves me. You hold on that seed, you meditate on that seed, and you say, God loves me. And that seed gives you strength to know that tomorrow it'll be okay because God loves me today and he's going to love me tomorrow, and that will give me the strength. I don't have to know how I'm going to face tomorrow because he's got me today and his love is so great that I can go into tomorrow. And that seed got hold and that takes root and it becomes a day, and day becomes a week, and weeks become months, and months become years. And then you see, look at my life, an expression of the love of God. Hallelujah. But sometimes you just got to hold on to the seed and you say, oh, it hasn't turned around overnight. That's what Pastor said. If we touch the seed tomorrow, we'll have great, different sermon, different preacher. Not me. 30, 60, 100 fold, but it's the result of seed. Seeds need to get rooted into your life. It needs to be kept clear. And then when you hold on, you need to give it the time to work and bring it out. But if you hold on to Jesus, hold on to his word, you will progress. That's its nature. The nature of God and his seed is upward. Hallelujah. You become fruitful. You become fruitful. Let's stand. Let me pray for you. I could pray for you while you're being seated, but this gives everybody a chance to stand up and shake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to say, Father, I thank you that the seed has been sown this morning in Jesus' name. The seed has been sown. I thank you that they who are listening, Lord, will be like the Thessalonians, who accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, Paul said, the word of God, but which also performs its work in you who are believing. I thank you, Lord, people will receive it and believe it and take hold of it in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, this word would quicken. Father, I thank you for people that this might be unusual for them, that, Lord, oh, I've never done this before. Father, I thank you they would take the step to move off the path and to say, actually, my heart is open for business. I receive this. And you say, well, I'm not sure how to do it all. You say, well, Lord, but I receive what you say to me. And Lord, I'm now willing to work with that and let you work that in me. See, the soil doesn't have to produce the fruit. It just has to harbor the seed, has to allow the seed. The seed will take the nutrients out of the soil, match it with the sunlight and the moisture, everything else. It will create everything that is needed. It just needs the heart to become open and receptive to it. Father, I thank you for people receiving your word this morning in Jesus' name. I thank you for people growing in faith and confidence and boldness. I thank you for people clearing out some weeds, saying, I'm letting the word work and I'm getting cleaned up and I am going to experience. And you can declare this over your life. You can speak it. So this is, you say, that's audacious. But you know, to say, I'm going to experience 30, 60, 100-fold increase in fruitfulness. You say, how dare you? You say, This is the seed of the word I'm talking about. I'm saying the word in me will produce 30, 60, 100 fold, and I have boldness and confidence in that because I believe it. And why don't you speak that over you? Look, I'm going to be super fruitful. I'm going to progress. I'm going to move forward. Look, and the enemy says, oh, yeah, but. No buts, it's the seed. Oh, if only I got this word when I was, 21. No, this is for now. If only I got this word earlier. If only I got this word if I wasn't committed. If only I got, no, it's for now. Receive it, believe it, and now you declare. And I'm going to see 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit because I'm progressing in Jesus' name. Amen.